Hi, and welcome back to Rosie Thoughts. Today is my special guest, so we're just going to take it as naturally as it gets. So this is my fifth episode from when Rosie Thoughts was established. I started my actual podcast from when I had my breakup with my ex. Things happened. I stopped doing it. And then I came into a whole realization for myself and decided to establish Rosie Thoughts. So my special guest today is my cousin, who I see as a brother, because he knows that he is my only brother from another mother, because I have no actual siblings. Marty Rodriguez, founder and creator of Forever Endless Media Productions, as well as Forever Endless Comics. I want to welcome Marty, as well as happy birthday, motherfucker, because it's your birthday, and we gonna talk like it's your birthday, and we gonna party as it's your birthday. So for a lot of people that don't know, we have a bottle of tequila in front of us, and I do have a bottle of vodka in the freezer, but I'm already kind of halfway through my drinking session, and I had him take a shot because he needs to fucking catch up. So today's episode is going to be with my special guest, Marty, my cousin, and we're going to be talking a little bit with the mental health awareness aspect. I battle with my bipolar disorder, as well as anxiety. And Marty, if you can just start telling us by what the fuck it is you battle with every fucking day.
Major clinical depression, and I've had it for about, over a decade. I can't really give you the exact amount of years, but I know that it's been over a decade. I think it started when I was in maybe 8th, going into 9th grade. I think that's when shit gets a little bit rough for teenagers or you know, kids that are about to hit those teenage years, those adolescent years, and yeah, that's kind of when it started. I think the happiest I ever was maybe was perhaps my elementary years, but then again, that's when everybody's happy because everybody's just a kid. All right. And I guess I don't really have set responsibilities and stuff like that. And you look at my son, and it's like, he's in pre-kinder. He's actually taking kinder classes already. He doesn't have a care in the world. He just speaks his mind. He's happy, and he's innocent. And that childhood innocence we it's tampered with throughout those middle school, going on to high school years. And then obviously in high school, if you don't have a set support system, whether it be by friends or family, mom and dad, then a lot of the times you won't know how to face certain things, certain hardships that happen when you're young. And I think those things start leading to darker places. You kind of don't know how to deal with things. You look to others for perhaps guidance. A lot of the times it'll work. A lot of the times it won't. Because at the end of the day, I honestly believe that everybody's just trying to figure out their shit. Doesn't matter how old they are. So yeah, when we're young, we don't have full support from our parents. I mean, I did from my mother, and I appreciate that for years, but then again, the love of a mother is always going to be there. My dad, I had kind of a contentious relationship growing up with him. I felt like I always needed to prove more to him. I adore the man now, because obviously now everything's open and free, but I really wish that I had that connection growing up with him. I didn't, unfortunately, and I had to kind of face certain obstacles on my own because of it, and you really want to find guidance somewhere else, but at the same time you wish you could get it from your parent. And that was I guess where our relationship failed a little bit. But yeah, I think growing up, you know, just these obstacles came. I didn't know how to deal with them. I wish I had the proper guidance. Unfortunately, I didn't make the best choices growing up. you know, I'm still not, I believe I'm still not a bad person, but I did growing up obviously make a lot of mistakes. And that's how you learn ultimately. And I think now, being diagnosed with major clinical depression, I'm kind of, you know, carrying myself, I'm carrying myself and I had to learn to get myself out of the darkness, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm battling it. It's become, you know, it's taken me to dark places. It's not fun. And I guess we can dive into that a little bit more later. But
yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's difficult. That's what I'm dealing with. It's like you said, it's my birthday today, and the world's kind of falling to shit with this whole global pandemic and shit. But gotta make the best out of it. And,
COVID-19, yo.
Yeah, COVID-19. Shout out to COVID-19. but yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, we're just trying to make the best of it. I'm glad that we finally did this podcast. Yes. Because,
totally.
Yeah, I know you won't be accessible in the coming weeks or months, but hopefully for every sure. time you're down here, we can find some time to do this and just fucking talk, man. Because yeah. The world, like I said, the world's going to shit, but
agreed.
We got to make the best of what we have right now.
So. And now, with what you were saying about how, you know, you wish your parents would have been there with you during, you know, your adolescence when you noticed that you were coming through all of this, you know, like the early signs of depression, you wish you would have, you know, had somebody talk to you about that earlier in my my last episode with my last segment. That was funny that you mentioned that, because I mentioned in that last one that we grow up with our Mexican parents, and they have those values and everything where we don't talk about anxiety, we don't talk about depression. It runs in the family, but we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it because it is seen as a weakness, or it is seen as something that, you know, people will either just talk about forever and just talk about you, whether it's bad or whether it's good, whether it's pity, which is the worst. Fuck, the pity talk is the worst, because it's not like, oh, you know, we're battling this shit and feel sorry for us. It's no, we're battling the shit and realize, like, we're battling the shit and you ain't, and we're still fucking alive as you are, as the next person is that doesn't have depression. We're still fucking alive for that.
Yeah.
But nobody in our family ever talked about that, because it was frowned upon. It was one of those stigmas where it was like, if you talked about your anxiety, if you talked about your depression, they frowned upon you and they saw you as weak. And now we see ourselves going through this, trying to be above it. And on top of being above it, we also see that they're still being affected by their own depression, by their own anxieties. And then we see our grandparents going through the depression as well and having to go to the doctors and be medicated for it. Whereas before, it was never talked about.
Yeah.
Because they had the strength in their body to go off and do something else and ignore it. And now that they don't have the strength in their body, as, you know, older people are, you know, and they get, they don't have the strength to go out and just take it out on, you know, picking cotton or cabbages or picking onions. And now they have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Now they are facing it, and they don't know how to face it, because they're in a world where they're not doing physical labor anymore to put it out. They're stuck in their home having to deal with their own mental depression, things that they were not dealing with before, and they have to deal with now because they're at home sitting every day. I just feel like we have that luxury of being able to talk to one another, because they didn't have that before. They didn't talk to one another about that. And we have that now. And I'm just so happy that we're just doing this podcast right now, talking about this mental health shit, because nobody fucking did that before in our family. Nobody. And look at us now. Everybody has fucking mental health issues, but we're the only ones talking about it.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the family, you know, obviously when I was younger, perhaps I resented them a little bit because they thought I was weak. But I think that's one of the most common misconceptions of mental health is finding the person weak. It's a stigma. Nobody really likes talking about it. And that's one of the things about depression, is that
you want to let it out, but you can't really talk about it because either one, you're tired of talking about it because it hurts so much, or two, the people around you are just not educated enough on it to, you know, to keep up with the conversation. I understand my family coming from a rough background. I remember, you know, the stories and whatnot. I'll paraphrase all these things, but I'll give examples, but I don't know if they're 100% true. But I know that they all slept in one bed together. I know that they had to pull themselves off their bootstraps. I understand that they had to be tough. And that's where I do get that from. And there weren't really people that really talked to each other about it. They just kind of brushed everything under the rug. And,
right.
And, you know, I think to deny it would be a little, a little idiotic, I guess. But, now at 31 years old, I don't, I'm very cautious with who I tell. I'm very careful with who I talk to this about. I mean, I'm taking 40 milligrams of fluoxetine. I was taking 20, about a month and a half ago. Nobody really knew that, you know, nobody really knows what I'm taking. Nobody really knows that I'm actually like clinically depressed. But yeah, I think that there's a reason why it's the number one disability in the world. I don't think it's just because people are weak. That's my opinion. I know that there's some people, that are going through worse. Maybe they're homeless. Maybe they don't have food and whatnot. But this is still a disability. This is still an issue, and it's something that has affected people, you know, throughout time. It's something that affects people that are rich, poor. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where you're from. Yeah. It depends on your creed. It does not matter. Like it will fuck you over, and it will cling on to you if you do not take the proper steps to heal. Now I see my family and I really couldn't care less about what they think, but at the same time, I love them. I love them more than ever now, because I guess I've come to terms with what I'm battling, and I really don't have time to, you know, resent anybody and whatnot. Like, I love my family. I'm glad that they, like, I feel more, it's weird because I feel like I'm in an extremely dark place with my clinical depression, but at the same time, I feel like I love them even more, you know, from my uncles to my aunts to the ones that aren't here no more. Like, I know that they perhaps tried their best, or maybe they didn't, but at the same time, now it doesn't really matter because everybody knows it's real. You know what I mean? Everybody knows it's real. It's not something to be taken lightly. People take their lives. I know I've been there where I've been close to suicide. I talk to it about, you know, I talk to certain people about it, certain exclusive people. I don't really like to talk about it, but, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's a clusterfuck in your mind. And, you know, you're honestly, to tell you the truth, I don't think there's a complete cure to it. It's not like one day someone's going to inject something into your brain and it's going to unclutter. You know what I mean? I think it's something that you live with for the rest of your life. You got to get therapy. You got to take medications. You got to change your lifestyle. And as an adult, that's how I am now. That's how I see it. I know who to talk to, who to not talk to. I know that we're all different. We all have difference of opinions, and I respect everyone's opinion at this point. Yeah. Maybe when I was younger, I felt bad because people thought I was just weak or I needed to suck it up or whatnot, but that was their reaction at the time. Now it's different. Now I know that I am, I'm a business owner, you know, I'm writing a book. So I know that it was not, that I wasn't the problem, you know, it wasn't because I was weak or lazy and whatnot. Like, I just, you know, I do a ton of things. And the biggest pain I think I've felt lately is closing down the gym because of, the statewide, you know, what the governor ordered.
Hashtag COVID-19.
Yeah, hashtag COVID-19. Another shout out to COVID. Things are getting worse. And honestly, it feels bad being here at home on my own. It feels bad being home with my family because I want to be out there. I want to be out there with the kids who've inspired me in the sport that I love. Yeah. But I guess things happen for a reason. And now I have an opportunity to finish Forever Endless, which is what I'm going to focus on now. And yeah, like I said, if you out there need to talk to somebody, you know, take baby steps. Don't just throw yourself out there, because a lot of the times you might open up, and sometimes people really don't have the time to listen because everybody's going through their own problems. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, if you feel like you can talk to somebody and you feel like that person is going to listen to you, then, you know, be exclusive to them and find other people like that and eventually open up to who you want. But a lot of people are not as educated to listen. A lot of people don't have the time. They think that their problems are above yours or anything like that. I mean, like I said, everybody's different. You can't blame anybody. And now it's just a matter of breaking the stigma, you know, breaking the stigma.
Yeah.
For me, it's a matter of talking to those who I trust, those who I love, those who I know are going to listen to me. And it feels a lot better now at 31 because, well, I know I was never the problem, you know, and that that feels good to know that, to know everything that I've accomplished, to know that everything that I want to do. And yeah, man, I just think, fuck, man, like it's a tough thing. Now I'm gonna take another shot.
I was about to say,
yeah,
that's cheers. A shot. Cheers.
Shout out to Himalor.
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 Go for it. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I got so good ass tequila, but I'm such a pussy and I need that fucking lemon, yo.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, I'm so fucking proud of you. I'm proud of you because I've been listening about this, the Forever Endless, the comic, the story that you've had in your mind and in your soul and all of you. I've been hearing about it since I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And to hear that it's all about to come alive this year, regardless of whether it's in 2 months or the end of the year, it's coming alive this year. The coronavirus is definitely delaying a lot
it's
of shit.
Delay a lot of stuff.
A lot of shit,
say.
But
yeah.
God willing, it's praise for those higher powers out there that, you know, it comes out this year. I'm so excited. I'm so fucking proud of you. Honestly, drunk me is telling you, I'm so proud of you. Now, what I wanted to get to, which is something, you know, it's not the coronavirus, I swear, it's my allergies. The reason I got diagnosed as a bipolar depression was because of the certain episodes I was having. And I wanted to know, the chronic clinical depression that you feel.
Major clinical.
Yeah, major clinical. Sorry, I'm drunk. Does it ever make you have mood swings? Like, it fluctuates how you feel day to day. Like, you could be happy one moment, and then you're just like, fuck you and everybody else and your mama the next day or the next second.
Before I started taking medication, before I started therapy, mm-hmm. Before I started the boxing gym, I was snappy at everybody. I would, my moods would switch from one moment to the next. I didn't really have control. Yeah, man, it was a fuck fest in my mind. Goddamn. Like, now I can control myself. Obviously the fluoxetine helps because there's a reason why they fucking call it happy pills, but goddamn, I don't want to be on happy pills forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, I know it's not an all around cure, but I do know that, that the gym is definitely helping me out. The gym's helping me out. Boxing is helping me out. The people that I know, the friends that I have now, the kids, the fighters, the members that have ambitions, like, you know, Raul Rodriguez, the one who started it all, Juan Soto, Cali, these business partners that I have, they're my mentors and they're my friends. And I appreciate that right now. You know, I appreciate what they've done. And they've helped me, you know, Raul, if it weren't for Raul giving me that opportunity at Fitness Boxing Gym, shout out to Fitness Boxing Gym and Palm Beach Boxing Club, I don't think I would be here. I think I was in a very dark place back in 2017 before I started the gym and I was ready to go. So thankfully I am where I am now. I'm a certified USA boxing coach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like I said, business owner, and I'm doing all of that stuff because I love it. If I didn't love it, I honestly would be doing something else. But yeah, like going back to the mood swings, it's, you know, it's, it happens. It does happen from time to time, not as much as it used to. Some days I just want to stay at the gym. Sometimes I'll come home late. I'll be driving around. You know, sometimes I'll cry. Sometimes it's just, sometimes I have to let my emotions out and, and that's how it is. I try and stay away now. Whereas back then I used to use everybody as a target and it's not fair for them to go through it.
Yeah.
And, so now I'm trying to find different ways to curb that, you know, to curb that and to
to shut it down because I don't like that side of me. I don't like being angry for
no reason. I feel that.
You know, so definitely boxing has helped me out. And yeah, those mood swings are there. But hey, there's ways of controlling them. So,
you know, something, you know, as a person like me, speaking for myself, don't know if anybody else feels like this, but, you know, relating to what you said, exerting that energy that you feel in you, whether it's negative or just frustrating or whatever it is, I used to take that out a lot on my mom. And I feel really bad about it. But at that moment, like, I didn't know it was happening. And it would happen. And by the time I knew it, I was just feeling regretful for everything I was doing. And even nowadays, like, it's not as bad as it was before when I was in high school and early first 2 years of college. God damn, I was fucking horrible. Not even gonna lie. Like, I was just fucking horrible. I was just very misguided. I found myself my way back, but, like, the anxiety, the depression did not help. I was very misguided, and I blamed a lot of shit on my mom. But in the end, I realized, like, it's not my mom to blame. And it sounds so bad for me to say it right now. It was my dad to blame, like, my biological father. Like, he was the one to blame. Because he wasn't understanding of what my mom was trying to do. Yeah. And feeding all of these negative ideas into his head and then projecting them on me. And then that was fucking me over in the long run. And I had nowhere to turn. Because I couldn't take it out at my mom in that moment that she came back home from school. From like 6 hour classes? You know, because my dad was busy taking it out on her. But fuck, I think her now because she's where she's at now. And my dad's where he's at now. And it's not a very graceful place. And he sees that now. And he regrets it now. And he only drinks more because of it. And he never fixed himself. He never went in because of his depression. My dad has depression. And he doesn't fucking face it. He drinks with it. The difference between that and us is the fact that we face our depression, then we're like, we gonna drink to our depression, and then we gonna get better. Mm-hmm. Because we can't be those people, because we see the fucking horror that it is. We see the repercussions of it. And just seeing or knowing how much was tolerated is just fucking whack for me. It's just whack for me. I can't believe I'm here right now in the situation that I'm in the, you know, place that I'm at, where it's like I'm with my mom and my stepdad and life is fine and dandy, you know, as good as it can get, because I'm not in an abusive household anymore. And it's fucking crazy to me. Allergies, I swear it's not coronavirus.
I hope not.
Fuck you. Another shot to that. Let's do this.
Another shout out to Jimador.
Jimador. And Palmview Boxing Gym.
Palmview Boxing Club.
Palmview Box.
And Fitness Boxing Gym.
Fitness Boxing Gym. Yeah. Palmview Boxing Club. Oh my God. I have way too much alcohol maybe in me right now. Okay. Suck my dick. Honestly, for those of you listening,
that's gonna be loud on the road. The suctioning of the
lungs. I'm so sorry for that, but that was me drinking more than I probably should be drinking. So take that, people on the road, and take that, listeners of Rosy Thoughts. But at the same time, thank you for listening, and please don't stop listening to me. I swear, this isn't the way all of my podcasts are gonna be.
She really isn't. I can attest to that.
You can only attest if you listen to all of my podcasts.
That's right. But
For sure. Now, Marty, we've gone through all the bad. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone through all the bad.
Yeah.
You're married. Mm-hmm. How many years have you been married?
I have been married. Jesus Christ. Shouldn't have taken that last shot of tequila. I got married in 2015.
2015. I'm going to go with 5 years at this point.
Just about 5 years.
Just about 5 years at this mm-hmm. point. And he has a wonderful kid out of that marriage. Oh, my God. It's the only way I feel I would have become an aunt, because I'm an only fucking child. So all of my cousins' kids are my kids.
Yeah.
They're my nieces and my nephews. So suck it. I'm an only child, and the only way I get nieces and nephews is if my cousins have fucking children. Keep having children, Marty, please. So, wonderful child that came out of the marriage. I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with this?
I have no
okay,
idea.
So I just want to know, 5 years into your marriage,
mm-hmm.
20 plus years of depression, but 5 years on top of that of having your kid, what's your favorite part of life right now? What's your favorite thing to wake up to right now?
If I am being 100% honest,
yeah.
Well, it's good that my family is healthy. That's one of the things, obviously.
Okay.
My wife, my kid, the gym, my parents, and I think my baby is forever endless. So that's the one thing that I'm trying to do now. That's the one thing that I wake up with optimism for. Obviously, with depression, it takes a lot to get up out of bed. But
agreed.
But I try. You know, I try my best. Sometimes I don't get out of bed. Sometimes I do. I'm ghostwriting at night sometimes, so I'll stay up and write for clients. But at the same time, it's sometimes it beats me up. But sometimes I gotta stay up because my mind is so creative. So you know what I mean.
I get that. Yeah.
But I think just right now I'm having a little bit of trouble with my major clinical depression. Enjoying too many things.
Okay.
Because kind of life is just.
So you don't have a specific thing that you're like that you have a favorite thing right now. You don't
my
have
favorite thing is Matthew. You know what I mean? Like my okay. favorite thing is my it's son, Matthew. My 4-year-old. You know,
I love it. I love it.
He's a mini I version of me. That. He's a mini
he
version.
He is.
Of me.
Oh my God! The many times I've wanted to strangle that little kid, Jesus but I can't.
Christ, what the fuck?
Because he's like you.
Yeah.
So all I can do is hug him and kiss him and cuddle him, and that's how I strangle him, because he gets so annoyed by me, and that's the only way I can output it is by kissing him and hugging him and being like tickling him,
because
he's so much like you. And I love it. I'm so in love with your child.
Yeah, so definitely Matthew.
I
mean it's my son. He's my world right now, and I just want him to make sure. I want to make sure that I'm there for him.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean. I want to make sure that I mean, gosh, I look at my father the way he takes care of him, and I love that. You know, I'm glad I was able to give that to my father, because my dad wasn't like that when I was young, when I was 4. So now to see that, and it feels good. It feels good, but at the same time, you know, I want to be there for him in ways that my father wasn't. I want to do everything I can. At the same time, I'm not gonna baby him because life is tough. Life is a bitch. Last thing I want for him is to go through what I'm going through, because this thing is a monster. And so, yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, making sure that he grows up right. You know, grows up right. Life's not going to be perfect. He's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to expect him to be perfect. I want him to make mistakes, learn from them, and not be afraid to fail. Because I think that was one of my things, too, is
yeah.
I was afraid of failing.
Of failing.
And yeah, and that's where I'm at right now. It's just my son. He's my world.
I love it. So now, besides your major clinical depression, I want to know, besides that, what's your worst fear? I want to know what eats you from your asshole up.
That's a good way of putting it.
I want to know what eats you from your asshole
up.
Shout out to all the assholes. Hairy, bleach, waxed, trimmed, shaved.
Yeah.
All the assholes. What's your worst fear?
God, that's... Let me see. I think, you know, before it was obviously the fear of failing because I was afraid of disappointing people.
Yeah.
Now I couldn't give a shit. My greatest fear is perhaps leaving this world without publishing my story that I've written for over a decade. That's basically a personification of my depression. That's my greatest fear, I think. I don't really care about whether I make a fortune out of it or not. Obviously, money's always welcomed, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it's my baby. It's my baby, and if I don't publish that, I think that would be my greatest fear. It used to be, like I said, the fear of failing. Now it's just I've grown older and my priorities have changed. My fears have changed. You know, obviously you don't want to lose your parents. You don't want to lose your wife. You don't want to lose your son. But at the same time, you know, those are things out of your control. So I'm kind of focusing on things that I can. And right now I know that if I don't grind, I'm not going to publish it. So I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to publish that because I don't want to leave this earth without people, you know, experiencing this story, because Forever Endless, I think, to me is not just because I wrote it, but I think it's pretty much an epic tale. And to the people who've read it or have read parts of it, that have given me some positive feedback and have also, you know, torn it apart, like, I appreciate it because, you know, one way or another, it's going to get out there. And, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, if I don't publish that, that'll be it. That'll be it. So we'll see. We'll see how the cookie crumbles. But that's it for me, you know? Not publishing. That's my greatest fear. What am I going to do with all the creativity in my head? You know? If it's not out there, it's going to stay in here. And it's going to depress me even more. So I'd rather get Forever Endless out there, you know?
Sounds good. Okay. So I like, listening to you and everything tonight, I have a question in me. And I wanted to know about it. How important is it for you for someone to know how to approach you? Mostly because personally, I struggle with my mom. She sometimes takes on the whole ordeal of, oh, I'm your mother and I can tell you anything I want. I understand that. I understand that when you're a parent, you want to be able to tell anything to your child. But as someone suffering or battling to say, you're fucking battling through major clinical depression, right? Mm-hmm. So you have, or I have to say, just a little bit of those little things that your major clinical depression has. I have it in my bipolar depression with how someone tells me things, how someone reacts to things, or how someone just expresses themselves to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has just, may I say, this is where I get it from, but my mom has just a careless fuck you attitude where she doesn't care how she says things and she doesn't care how they come out. And I guess as me being me, the daughter of her, I shouldn't know what she means. But the fact that I'm dealing with all of this shit in my own head already, when she tells me things, I automatically process them as negative.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't know how to express herself or tell me things that worry her. Because, you know, as I've said, you know, with the whole COVID-19 situation happening, and I'm moving out of the city, I'm moving out of the Rio Grande Valley up north, but everything up north seems to be everybody dying or having a really bad situation. But I'm just trying to be, you know, optimistic about it. I've had a fucking anxiety every day of this week, and I've been suffering from insomnia every day of this week. I've woken up late to work every day of this week because I can't stop thinking. I can't stop thinking of that. She brings it up every night. Oh, how are you going to do it up there? How are you going to do this? Or how are you going to do that? Did you know everything is shutting down? But it's like, I understand all of everything that is happening, but the opportunity I had, the opportunity I'm being given, is so different and it's amazing and you can't compare it to any other opportunity I've ever had to go up there because I'm earning way more than I should have been earning. And I guess that goes along with the fact that I've never believed in myself. I've never believed in myself up until this past year when I was able to get a job from one day to the next because of my experience. And that's when it finally clicked, like, oh my God, I have this experience because I'm good. I'm good at something and I should excel at that. So I take the chances that are given to me. But at the same time, it's like I'm being shunned for taking those opportunities, regardless of the situation that's happening around us in general. And it just makes me feel so much smaller than I should feel. That's how I feel. That's how I felt all this week. I've felt smaller than I should feel because I'm going towards a job that's going to pay me more than I feel like I'm worth. Because the job that I had before said they were willing to negotiate pricing. Negotiate wage, but they would not match it. They would not match that wage because it was too much for them. And dare I say, I'm pretty good because I would bring in some money for some law firms. And that once again goes in connection with the whole thinking of yourself, your own self-worth lower than what you expect. Because even though these attorneys would tell me, oh, we love the way you work. We love this. We love this. We love this. We love this. I never saw that self-worth until I realized that people were actually asking for me to go in because of how much money I was making the firm prior. But I never saw myself as someone that would be worth that. I never saw it. And I was so close to rejecting the offer because I didn't believe in my self-worth. And that's another fucking segment that I had. I didn't believe in my self-worth. Imagine if I didn't believe in my self-worth and I would have rejected that job offer. And I would not have what I'm going to right now. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the COVID-19 situation, I would not have gone for it. Because I wouldn't have believed in myself. I would have totally been dumb and skipped out of that fucking situation. Sometimes it's worth taking that risk. And sometimes it's not. But from my experience, everything I'm being told by my family, Let me put that out there again. Everything I kept being told by my family was going to keep me in the same place that I was at. And it wasn't going to move me forward. It wasn't going to make me excel. The decision that I decided to take, regardless of the situation, regardless of the fact that we're going through this whole COVID-19 panic, I'm praying to God that it's going to move me forward.
And that's all you need. That's all you need because your parents, your mom in this case, especially since you're an only child, but it doesn't really matter, but your parents are always going to try and keep you safe. They're always going to try and protect you from the world out there. Going back to my son, I mean, I don't want him to obviously go through what I'm going through, but at the same time, if he does, I feel like I'm not ill-equipped to deal with this and to give him advice, you know, but it's natural for a family down here that's always been extremely close to tell you, to be afraid of change a little bit, you know, to be uncertain, to not want to take that risk because, oh, don't take that risk because if it doesn't work out, you're going to end up over here. It's like, that's something that you're going to have to do on your own. That's something right. That you have to look for your own.
Yeah.
You're the one that has to mine for gold. Nobody's going to do it for you. And regardless of what your parents or your family tells you, like, you do have to move forward on your own because you're not a bad person. You're just looking for an opportunity. You want to grow. You want to be a better person. And that right there is if you like what you're doing, if you want to move forward in what you're doing and you have an opportunity, take it, you know, take it. And yeah, I mean, your mom's going to try and keep you back. Your mom's going to try and protect you And it's normal because she's your mother. She loves you. Your family also loves you. They're not doing it from a place of malice. I don't think they're doing it from a bad place. I think they just, you know, they're used to having you around. They love you. They want to take care of you. But at the same time, it's like I said, I mean, you go and you mine for gold, and this is an opportunity for you. And I think you should always take it. You take those opportunities because you do not want to regret it later. And if you regret it, you're going to resent your family for keeping you back. And you don't want that. So whatever it is that they tell you, take it with, you know, take it like a grain. It's a grain of salt. You know, take it. Yeah, they care for you. They care for you. Understand that first, that they love you and they care about you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a place to be right now. But at the same time, know that you do have to get out of your comfort zone to grow. And when I was here and I didn't have the gym, I was lost. It was my comfort zone. And then finally I was thrusted into this and now I'm working corners, you know what I mean? At USA Boxing, like for USA Boxing at events Love and whatnot. It. And I'm teaching kids and I'm being extremely, social and active. Yeah. And I wasn't like that before. And that took me out of my comfort zone and I was forced to do that. And then I loved it, you know, and now I'm in love with it. So it's like, if you don't take that risk, you're never going to know. So right now that, yeah, there's the world is coming undone in a way with COVID-19, hashtag COVID-19. Hashtag. You know, it's difficult. It's scary because this is the first pandemic in our lifetime. And it's definitely unprecedented for us. And it's also something that, you know, I mean, think about it. How bad does shit have to be for the government to send you $1,000 checks for no fucking reason? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
probably $1,000 checks that you're going to go blow on other shit that you're not supposed to blow. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, hashtag drug dealers. But I honestly believe that regardless of the situation right now, the world needs to continue. The world needs to go on, and so do you. And I think so do we. And I think, you know, it's like we love our family. We're always going to do the best for our family. We're always going to try and have positive things for our family, positive experiences with our family. But at the same time, when they give us their opinion or they tell us this and this and that, it's just simply that. It's an opinion, and opinions are valid because everybody has opinions. The fact is something that you have on your own and you already know the answer to what you're going to do. You already believe in you need to believe in yourself. Once you believe in yourself, I don't think there's really anything that could stop you, aside from, you know, perhaps getting COVID-19. So that's pretty much my opinion on that. I think what you get from your mother is coming from a loving place because your mother had you. And like I said, you're an only child, so she's the only one and she's going to try and protect you. But at the same, and you guys have been through a lot. You already talked about your father. You already talked about what he did and did not do. So it's like the person that's always been there from the beginning has been your mom. Shout out to Rose Dominguez.
My mama.
And
love her.
And now Rene. You know Rene too. Rene being there, your stepfather. And
I fucking love my stepdad, bro.
He's a great guy, man. He's a great guy. He's an amazing addition to the family. He's a fucking light, man. He's a light in everybody's lives. And I think, like I said, they're always going to try and keep you here as long as they can. But the day is going to come where you have to be a big person. You have to be a grown-up and you have to make your own choices. And if you fail and you come back, you know what? You fail and you come back, but at least you're still only, what, 24?
Five.
25. So you've only downloaded 25%
of the video game. Oh, God, I'm so old.
You've only downloaded 25% of the fucking video game. You know what I mean?
So yeah. It's like
you still got a lot more years in you. I mean,
yeah, 75%.
I'm 30 years old and I'm 31 years old, excuse me.
69%.
Yeah, and I still got, hey, you know, I'm allowed to fail. Everybody's allowed to fail. Nobody has a blueprint to this life.
For sure.
Go out there, get, follow your passion, work for what you want, regardless of what people say, because everybody's, like I said, everybody's got opinions and those opinions are valid. Just take them. But ultimately, what you want to do is what you want to do, and that's it, you know? But just remember that your mom always loves you, and everybody here, you know, it loves you, of course.
I'll never doubt that my mama loves me, because I fucking love her, and she has got to love me to have been putting up with my ass 25 years. Oh, my God. But on top of that, let me say, I'm fucking drunk. And I forgot to I gotta say, I didn't actually get an answer from you when I asked, how important is it for you for someone to know how it is to approach you in the family with things like that? Because when you think about it, like, yes, you're the family, and I'm saying this out of experience, like, I didn't consider when my cousin had anxiety. Like, my cousin, one of my cousins, which is his sister, my cousin Melissa Rodriguez, she had anxiety before I got anxiety, and I never considered it in this aspect, whereas I would judge her and everything, and I wouldn't know how to approach her with things. So I would approach her the way I would normally approach anyone. So what I want to know is, how important is it for you, for someone to know how to approach you when that person knows what you're going through? As a person going through, you know, depression, anxiety, bipolar depression, whatever your thing is, how important is it for you, for your family member or the person approaching you, for them to know how important it is for them to know how to approach you? How important is that for you?
Well, I mean, it's important, but that's why, like I said, you have to be very cautious with who you talk to about these things. Because if you know you're going to go talk to somebody that you, mm-hmm. that perhaps doesn't really understand or has never been through it, you might not like what they say, you know?
Yeah,
so you might be like, oh, well, you know, God, I shouldn't have talked to them because they didn't understand me and this and that. But then again, it's like, it's on, that shit is on you because you told the wrong person and perhaps you, te querías desahogar, you know, you wanted to vent with someone that perhaps wasn't educated enough to understand the situation. As far as my parents, it's been, you know, early on in my depression, they, it did frustrate me. They didn't hashtag Jurassic Park. I know you guys aren't seeing this, but she's putting one of my son's giant T-Rex toys on.
Take a picture so that later on I will tag it.
So that they can... fucking ridiculous. Okay. So anyways, so yeah, like that's definitely how, that's what I believe. I think it's like you need to just make sure you pick and choose who listens, who you want to tell. Because at the end, it's on you. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to, at this point in my life, I'm not going to blame anybody for not understanding. That's on you for talking to somebody that didn't understand. My parents, like I said, my parents understand me now. They know how to approach me now. My wife understands me now. She knows how to approach me now. I still have those triggers, but I find ways to go around that and not lash out on them. So yeah, it's definitely important, but at the same time, like I said, I mean, if you're serious about getting better and you're serious about venting and you want to talk to somebody about your depression or about anything that you're going through, talk to the right person. Don't just talk to anybody because you think they might understand, because it's not, exactly. That's not always going to help you. It's probably going to take you back to square one and you're going to be like, well, I didn't get anything out of that conversation. So can you stop fucking doing that with a dinosaur?
I'm sorry.
But yeah, that's what I believe. It's important, obviously, how people approach you, but it's also important who you tell and who knows. And that's what I think, you know? It's on you. It's always on you. Don't blame anybody else. This is your fucking problem. It's an issue that's within you. Find the correct people to tell, and don't be mad when someone doesn't fully understand. If you really want that person to understand you, take more time with them, if they're open-minded, of course, because a lot of the times people aren't. And that's what I believe. That's what I think.
All right. I feel like this is the end of this first segment. So I feel like y'all should stick around just in case we have a second segment on this. But I think this is as good as this gets for this first one.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So once again, thank you for tuning in at Rosie Thoughts. And I hope you all enjoyed this. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, go ahead and reach out to moi. Other than that, I hope your depressive, bipolar, anxiety asses, just like mine, are having a wonderful and splendorous night. If not, go fuck yourselves. That might work. I usually do that. I'll diddle myself if it Tonight's just not going right. Stop. All right. Jesus Christ. Sounds good. Y'all have a pleasant night.